I don't know about you, but this is the place to be, in my opinion. You're surrounded by people that love you, you're worshiping God, and that's, to me, the most two important things in life, which you can do. Have family that loves you and worshiping Jesus. I don't know about you, but we live in a world full of people that are hurting day and night. They can't find any relief. And I go to school, and people just need to hear the gospel. And I know the gospel is a very powerful tool, and I think if we use it correctly, then God can use us in that way. So you can turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 4 if you brought them. I'm going to give you a little background information on what's going on right now. I think it's safe to say that Paul is one of the most influential people in the New Testament. He's author of 13 books of the New Testament, and today we are going to look at a letter he wrote to Timothy, his son in Christ. Currently, Paul is in prison right now. He's in prison for the second time. If you notice, he was in prison in Acts for the same thing. He's writing this letter to Timothy, a young pastor. And Timothy's in the city of Ephesus, and I looked at a little background of Ephesus. Ephesus is full of corruption, immorality, and not a good place. And Timothy has to have a good ministry in order to turn it around. Paul knows he's about to die, so he sends this last letter to Timothy to help him in his ministry. I'm going to give you the central truth, so you don't have to wonder what I'm going to be talking today. The central truth is, always be ready to preach the gospel. And I find it very, very relevant in my life right now, because I'm ending my senior year in high school, and as people are going off to their separate directions, I want to let God know that I'll be using a tool to impact kids for later on, and maybe they can pick the right road to go down and have a happy life. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Today we're going to be looking at two questions. I'm going to answer two questions. Why should we preach the gospel, and how should we preach the gospel? First reason why we should preach the gospel. We should preach the gospel because Jesus will come back to judge us one day. Jesus will come. We want to live our lives, and when we go and stand before Jesus Christ, we want him to say, "Good job, Brendan. You did what I told you to. Good job. You did everything I asked you to." And the second one is because there's false teachers. It says in verse 3-4. We live in a society where people don't want to listen to their faults, what they're doing wrong. They want to hear what makes them feel good. They go places where they feel accepted, and they go where places where their lifestyle is accepted as well. They want to come to church and say, "Get off my back, Brennan. I know what I'm doing wrong." They don't want to hear that God doesn't like drunkenness. He doesn't like you hurting the temple. God doesn't like you to use drugs, which so many people are. And it kills me to know at school that kids are doing that left and right. And I just see so much hurt and pain in their eyes. And I look at my life and see how God changed me and transformed my life. And I want to have a good ministry if God allows me to use me any way he can. Some people tell that the only way you can go to heaven is just by being baptized. And we know that's not true because the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if you believe with your heart that Christ is Lord and you confess with your mouth that Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. And the baptism, like Pastor Pierpont was saying today, is the commandment after that. Some people believe, if they're homosexual, they believe that, well, God's a loving God. He's not going to judge me because I'm homosexual, but quite frankly, he's going to judge you one day. Paul goes a step further and tells Timothy how to preach the gospel. There are three different things he says to do. He says to reprove, and reprove means tell a fault. For those of you who know me really well, you know that I'm mentally lazy. I'm physically not lazy, but mentally lazy. I've been hanging around Mr. Good a lot. And my senior year, I had to do good. I had to go to night school. I had to get good grades or I can't graduate. So I'm on the limb. But God worked it all out where if I do good, He's helping me out. But it took Mr. Good to tell me all the things I was doing wrong. Brennan, do your homework. Brennan, do your homework. Brennan, get up. Stop taking a nap. Stop taking a nap. And I like taking my naps if you know me. So, second thing he tells to do is rebuke, charge or forbid. And the third thing he says is exhort, to be good comfort. I had to do a senior project this year. And I cannot, last time I read a book, honestly, if it wasn't for school, was probably in the seventh grade. And I had to read a lot of law stuff about, I had to do my senior project on separate church and state, so I was reading a lot of stuff that I didn't understand, and it took a lot of hours to get that going. And after I did it, Mr. Good was like, you did it. He lifted me up, and I've had so much good encouragement the past few years that I'm a different person. So, you may be asking, well, Brendan, I've been going to church since I was 1 year old, and I can clearly tell that Timothy was brought to pastors, so how can I apply this to my life? How can I take something away from this? Well, the answer to this is, this doesn't mean that pastors are the only ones that are supposed to go out into the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't mean that pastors are the ones only supposed to lead people to the Lord. It doesn't mean that they're the ones that are supposed to tell the word. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Tom Couch, he came to Southgate Community Players. I had no idea that I was going to meet him. And he was like, Brennan, if you're going to be my friend, you're going to have to come to church with me. And I was like, I'm down. I'm cool for it. And he called me the Sunday. He was like, are you still going? I was like, yeah, I'm going. He's like, oh, I don't want you to get cold feet on me. And I was like, all right, I'm going. And it didn't happen overnight. It took a couple of Sundays, and it took a lot of thinking, and God just broke me down with all the things that were going on in my life. I was on depression pills, and after I got saved, I didn't even notice them anymore. I was like, oh, Mom, look, I have these. Okay, I throw those away? Yeah. So I pray that we go to a church that loves people. I know that because everyone here, I hope, loves me because I love all you guys. And I know that you guys interact with so many people throughout the day. I know I do. And people need love. I think that is the biggest thing people need is love. Somebody to love them, somebody to care about them. And we go to church where everybody does that. So if you just take your time out, take them to the batting cages, maybe just sit on the porch and say hey to them and hang out with them, they'd be good. And another reason why I know this isn't just for pastors because the Bible says in Matthew and the Great Commission to go into all the world and spread the gospel, baptizing them. And that's just a really big thing that I think what pastor's goal is to have the balconies filled, to have down here filled, to stir the moldy baptism tanks. That's a realistic goal because we live in a city with like thousands of people. So I just pray that if you see that kid, that co-worker at school, at work, that you take the time out to talk to them. So we're going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know you're loving God, Lord, and I know you're a judgmental God, Lord, that you like us to live for you and you don't like us to disobey, Lord. I just want to say that everything we've done here tonight, Lord, from my preaching to everyone singing to the piano playing, that it's not for our own glory, but it's for your glory, Lord, that we do this because we want to honor you, we don't want to honor the people here, Lord. I just pray that every syllable we say here, that it worships you and you're pleased by it, Lord. And I just want to say these things in your heavenly name. Amen.